On behalf of the bishops, priests, Mother Mary Bosco, the sisters, seminarians, and brothers, I want to wish all of you a most happy and blessed Easter. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. For Christ our Pasch is sacrificed. Therefore let us feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought sweet spices, that coming they might anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come to the sepulchre, the sun being now risen. And they said one to another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, and they were astonished, who saith to them, "Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, one of the main characters in the Easter story, and truly one of the most famous women in the Catholic faith, is St. Mary Magdalene. Today, let us join St. Mary Magdalene on the first Easter Sunday and see it from her eyes. However, to get a fuller picture, let us first take a glimpse at the events which led up to this, the life story of St. Mary Magdalene. This saint is mentioned repeatedly throughout the Gospels, and her story includes some of the most moving moments of our Savior's public life. The first mention of Magdalene is actually as the public sinner who entered into the home of a Pharisee to fall at the feet of our Lord, wash his feet with her tears, dry them with her hair, and finally spread a sweet-smelling ointment upon them. When the Pharisees condemned her, even in just their thoughts and looks, our Lord defended her, declaring, "Many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much." After this beginning, we then hear that Mary, along with her brother Lazarus and sister Martha, were close friends of our Savior. Their family often entertained our Lord in their home, sharing meals with him and his apostles. It was during one of these visits that Mary Magdalene was again at the feet of our Lord, this time listening to his discourse and growing in her devotion to him, while her sister Martha urged her to work. Again, our Lord defended Magdalene, saying, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and art troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary hath chosen the better part, which shall not be taken away from her." The time of our Lord's public life continued to pass by with glimpses of Magdalene here and there in the background until her brother Lazarus became seriously ill. Then Mary and Martha take center stage as they sent word to our Lord that Lazarus was sick, implying thereby that they hoped Jesus, renowned for his miracles, would come to heal his close friend. However, our Savior waited where he was, delaying his arrival until Lazarus had been dead and buried for 3 days. Only then did he return and found Mary and Martha attending the traditional and rather lengthy Jewish funeral services for their brother. At the news that Christ had arrived, Martha went out to meet him on the road, declaring, "Master, if thou hadst been here, my brother hath not died." Mary soon also joined them on the roadside with the same complaint, "If thou hadst been here, my brother hath not died." Then she was overcome by her sorrow and began to weep. Our Lord, seeing their sorrow, asked, "Where hast thou laid him?" wanting to be shown to Lazarus's tomb. On the way there, he wept as well, sharing in the sorrow of his friends. He then arrived at the tomb and called forth, "Lazarus, I say to thee, arise." The stone of the tomb was rolled back, and Lazarus walked out alive once more. In all the records and traditions of the Jews, no one had ever brought back to life a person who had been dead more than 3 days. Furthermore, this was a very public miracle, witnessed by many, and also it occurred very close to Jerusalem, as St. Mary Magdalene's family lived only a few miles from the holy city. It is debated when exactly this happened, but certain scripture scholars say that the raising of Lazarus to life occurred just a day or two before Palm Sunday. This would have been right during a festival of the Jews, when there would have been probably 1 million people in the holy city. Word of such an outstanding miracle as this would have spread rapidly. No wonder then the people welcomed our Savior on Palm Sunday, honoring him as the Redeemer. However, the day before, there was a feast held to honor our Lord. And it was at this feast that St. Mary Magdalene, in her overwhelming gratitude to and love for our Savior, for raising her brother to life just a short time before, she anointed our Savior's forehead with an ointment of great price. Then she poured forth all that ointment upon his feet, and finally dried his feet with her hair. She thus repeated her first act of devotion to our Lord, as was just mentioned before. But hardly did she finish when Judas cries out, "Why this waste? This could have been sold and been distributed to the poor." Again, our Lord defended Magdalene, including what must have seemed so mysterious, that she is come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Remember, our Lord was to die just a few days after this. The God-man then declared in his defense of Magdalene, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, that also which she hath done shall be told for a memorial of her." By this time, St. Mary Magdalene's devotion to our Lord is absolute and complete. He first won her by forgiving her sins, then drew her ever closer with his wisdom and charity. And finally, he has given such a gift as returning her brother back to life. However, the events of Holy Week follow. Palm Sunday's glory, Holy Thursday's Last Supper, then the agony in the garden, and finally, Good Friday's crucifixion and death. Mary Magdalene followed our Lord throughout the Passion, witnessing all she could in her utter devotion to him, until finally she took part in his burial. Her love for our Redeemer still consumes her, but in the face of such an awful death that she just witnessed, her faith in him as the Messiah came crumbling down. Nevertheless, as they were not able to give to Jesus a proper burial according to Jewish customs on Good Friday, Mary Magdalene and the other holy women, go to the tomb of our Savior on Easter Sunday to finish the burial rites. However, as today's gospel tells us, they find no body of Christ in the sepulcher, but only angels who declare that our Lord is risen back to life. Today's gospel ends there, but the gospel for Easter Tuesday continues this story, focusing specifically on St. Mary Magdalene. After this angelic announcement of the resurrection, she leaves the other holy women behind and runs to tell the apostles that our Lord's body is nowhere to be found, as well as the words of the angels. The apostles race off back to the tomb, and Magdalene follows after, though not as quickly. Eventually, she returns to the tomb, but she's there by herself. She is then there not to look for our risen Savior. No, Mary did not believe the words of the angels, for the sights, sounds, and sorrows of Good Friday overwhelm her with despair. She only hopes to give one last act of devotion to our Lord, but even his body has been stolen from her. However, then approaches a man. Mary assumes he is the gardener, arriving so early in the morning, and she begs, "Sir, if thou hadst taken him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Notice how urgent is her desire to honor the Christ, that she forgot to explain who the him she is referring to. Nor did she consider how she will manage to take the body away when our Lord was a powerfully built man and she is all by herself right now. But then Mary hears that calm, assuring voice, so familiar, so welcome, so dear to her heart. All she hears him say is her name, Mary. And finally, St. Mary Magdalene's eyes are opened. She recognizes her master, and at last she believes, as the angel said, he is risen, for he stands before her alive, smiling upon her. My dear faithful, this great saint's life, as recorded in the Gospels, begins with the mercy of Christ forgiving her sins. Then follows a frequent stream of acts of devotion, Mary's choosing the better part of drawing nearer to Christ again and again. Her charity is well rewarded throughout, and these gifts culminate with the life of her brother in such an unimaginable way as a resurrection from the dead. However, then comes a heavy test of her faith, the bloody, awful, terrifying cross and death of her beloved Christ, and Magdalene falls into despair. Throughout all of this, our Lord has been St. Mary Magdalene's Savior twice over already, first forgiving her sins, and again in the return of her brother to life. And now our Redeemer saves her once more, reaching down to raise Mary up a third time as a most dear child to his most sacred heart. That, my dear faithful, is one of the great lessons we learn in the Easter story, the infinite love of God for man that never gives up in the hunt for souls to save. Never can there be a soul in this life that is beyond hope of saving. Anyone can rise from the death of sin. The joy of an Easter Sunday, a resurrection to life, a restoring to glory, is always within reach for the all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving heart of our God. And so, my dear faithful, I encourage you then on this Easter morning to put your trust now and always in our Savior. Strive for your salvation. Yes, you will have your faults and failures, but always look to Christ, for he calls you to rise higher, to be greater, to draw closer to his most sacred heart. Let him light your heart on fire with his grace, with love like St. Mary Magdalene's. Be resolved to give yourself to our divine Savior evermore. And if ever you fall, trust that he will give you mercy each and every time. Remember, St. Mary Magdalene would not be in heaven today if our Lord did not reach down to her again and again and again. Be not affrighted, my dear faithful. Seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified for love of you. He is risen, and he longs to raise you up as well. May God bless you, and may you have a happy and holy Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.